Continuing a summer series called Hot Topics. Hot Topics. It says, guaranteed to make you uncomfortable while you sit and sweat in your seat. Hot Topics, and some of y'all been sweating in your seats, so I figured today to help you out, we got some fans for you. Ushers, come on and get ready. If you want a fan, just raise your hand. We'll give you a fan. That way, while you sweat in your seat, you can cool off this morning. All right, we got a few brave souls. You say, I'll hold a fan right here while I preach today. By the way, if you haven't downloaded our church app, we have a shameless plug for that on the back of these fans, okay? It tells you how to do that. Download it. Use it. It's got our podcast. It's got our announcements. You can put prayer requests in there, all kinds of good stuff. So anyway, we got plenty of church fans. The more you sweat, the longer I preach, all right? So make sure you get one of these fans. I'm going to give my wife one. She might need one today. We'll see. All right. Make sure you get a fan. All right. Hot Topics. This is an uncomfortable series, and I can't promise you that it's going to get more comfortable over the next 3 weeks, but we need to address the tough issues, because if we don't, the devil will. If we don't talk about this stuff in church, I guarantee you they're talking about it out in the world, and I want you to know the truth so you don't fall for the lie. Last Sunday, I started teaching about what the Bible says about sex. And because of the overwhelmingly positive response that I got, I'm going to keep on going today. Amen. Just like last Sunday, today's message is not a children's message. If you have small kids or immature adults with you today, take them to kids' church. You can check them in the lobby. Everybody else, buckle up. Here we go. Today, I'm going to talk about sex and marriage. And since I'm going to talk to the married people primarily today, let me just remind you that the Bible says it's good to be single. If you're single, that's all right. In fact, the Bible says so. You don't need somebody on your arm to make you good. God already made you good all by yourself. So y'all help me preach. Come on, tell your neighbor. Tell them you're good. Tell somebody else you're good. But regardless of your marital status, I believe there's some truth for everybody today. Whether you apply them to your own life or you use them to help somebody else in their circumstance. So help me preach again. Come on, talk to your neighbor. Tell them, get ready to learn something. I heard about a man who was talking with a group of his friends. And he was telling them, he said to them, my wife and I, we just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. And his friends, they all said, congratulations, that's wonderful. Tell me, how did you celebrate it? He said, I took my wife to Beijing. His friends said, wow, that's amazing. That's incredible. So if you did that for your 25th anniversary, what do you plan to do for your 30th anniversary? He said, I plan on going back to get her. Going back to get her, take my wife to bake. Yeah, anyway, never mind. All right. Marriage is the most rewarding of all relationships. But it's also the most challenging of all relationships. That's why we're looking at what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7 today. Let's read that again. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. So if you're single, that's good, okay? Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. This is God's boundaries for sex. Period. That's it. Nothing more and nothing less. It's not complicated. Aren't you glad God makes things so simple for us? This is God's standard. Let each man have his own wife, let each woman have her own husband. So if you're a man, the Bible says you can have your own wife. If you're a woman, the Bible says you can have your own husband. That's God's standard, and nothing outside of that is acceptable. You might not like it, But God makes it easy for us. He writes it plainly in the book. That's God's standard. Let's keep reading. Verse 3. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. I like how the NIV words it. It puts it like this. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife. Yes. And in case you're wondering, that's talking about... Boom, chicka, wow, wow. It's talking about intimacy there, y'all. The Bible says it's your marital duty. So basically, man, the Bible says you've got a job to do. And I know that that might not seem very romantic, but the Bible views intimacy not only as a desire, but also as a duty. Let the husband fulfill his marital duty to his wife. Notice it says nothing about him fulfilling his own desires. You see, desire is meant to be a benefit of the relationship, not the goal of the relationship. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise, the wife to her husband. Now look at verse 4. It says, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. And before the men start jumping up, down, and shouting amen and getting excited, you need to read the rest of this verse. Because the Bible's getting ready to do something that was very controversial in the first century male-driven culture. In a culture where men often viewed women as property, the Bible introduces the idea of mutual submission. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. Mutual submission to one another. If I can sum up what the Word of God is saying in modern terms, this is what the Word of God is saying to us. It's not about you. Come on, say, it's not about me. And tell your neighbor, neighbor, it's not about you. Boo. Sorry, I couldn't help it. I had to put that in there. It's not about you, not according to the Word of God. And if I can summarize the heart of my message today, is that Christian marriage is where both of you serve one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. If you want to be a godly husband or a godly wife, then I challenge you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 out loud. And everywhere where you see the word love, substitute your own name. I am patient, I am kind, I do not envy, I do not boast, I am not proud, I do not dishonor my wife, I am not self-seeking, I'm not easily angered, and I keep no record of wrongs. You begin to speak that word of God over your life, it will mess you up. It will turn you upside down. You get mad, be like, I am not easily angered. Right? Just quote the word of God. Quote the word. It will change your life. But the Bible says right here that love is not self-seeking. When you love one another in a Christian marriage, it's the type of love that is not self-seeking. It doesn't put me before we. And by the way, you have to love like a Christian whether your spouse is a Christian or not. Did you know that? You do not get an exemption from being a godly husband or a godly wife if you're married to an unbeliever. Because in God's eyes, your marriage is a Christian marriage. Did y'all know that? Yes. Bible said that one believing spouse sanctifies the whole household. Mm-hmm. Love is not self-seeking. I would say the number one problem in marriages today is selfishness. Every major problem can be traced back to this issue, the problem of selfishness. I'm not happy. He's not meeting my needs. She's not doing what I want her to do. He doesn't do this. She doesn't do that. Me, 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 my. Selfishness is toxic to any relationship, but especially marriage. Philippians 2 verse 4 says this, let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. And marriage is about meeting each other's needs. The problem is that a lot of marriages are at a standoff. They're at a standoff. There's been a showdown, and one person is saying, well, she's not doing for me what I want, so I'm not going to do anything that she wants until she meets my needs. Then she's over in the other corner saying, he doesn't meet my needs at all, so I ain't do nothing for him till he meets my needs. And because everybody is focused on themselves and what they want, their marriage is at a standstill. And that's why so many marriages are stuck. Because God's plan is for you to meet each other's needs. Many marriages fail because they do the exact opposite. Everybody's focused with what they want and their own needs, and they're not ministering to the needs of their mate. So today, to help you, I'm going to get real practical, y'all. And I hope you're taking notes this morning. This is going to help somebody, all right? Today, I'm going to help you meet the needs of your husband or your wife. I'm going to talk about the five needs of a woman and the five needs of a man. So we're talking about meeting each other's needs. I'm going to give you some examples of what those needs may be. All right, ladies first. Here are the five needs of a woman. Men, take notes. If you didn't bring a notepad, get a crayon or something. You want to write these down. The five needs of a woman. Number one is affection. Amen. Women have a large emotional capacity. And one of their primary needs is for affection. And if you're not good at affection, guys, I will help you out. I will make it so easy for you today. Let me give you some examples of how to show her affection. Number one, open doors for her. And not just when other people are watching. Okay, here's another one. Put your arm around her. Hold her hand in public. And all the ladies are like, amen. And all the guys are like, are you kidding me right now? Hold her hand in public. Put your arm around her. By the way, every touch doesn't need to be sexual in nature. Okay? If the only time you even touch your wife is when you're trying to get something, let me prophesy to you this morning, you ain't gonna get nothing. Not every touch needs to be a sexual touch. Hold her hand just because you love her. Put your arm around her just to say, hey, I love you. I'm thinking about you today. It ain't always got to be about that. I'm just trying to help you out, y'all. They say, marriage counselors say, for every sexual touch, there should be 12 non-sexual touches. Some of y'all are looking at me like I'm speaking Chinese right now, but I am helping you if you listen to me, okay? Some of y'all are like, where's point number two from last week? Here are some other ways that you can show affection. Call her when you're at work. Tell her, here's a novel idea. Why don't you tell her I love you every once in a while? I had a friend years ago tell me that I never tell my wife I love her. I just want to show her that I love her by the way that I act. And I'm thinking, this is the dumbest guy I have ever met in my life. Show her that you love her, but open up your mouth and tell her that you love her. She needs to know that. Go for a walk together. Watch a romantic movie. Now, ladies, y'all help him out now. Go easy. Some of these movies, you're supposed to cry from the opening credits to the closing credits and everything. It's not running it. Don't do that. Go easy on him, all right? Give him a movie. You can at least laugh a little bit. And guys, go easy on your wife. She don't want to watch people's heads exploding all the time. Find a movie you both enjoy watching. Good gracious. Go from one extreme to the other. Here's another idea. Send her flowers when it's not Valentine's Day. Send her flowers when it's not Valentine's Day, when it's not the anniversary. Just send her flowers and say, I'm thinking about you and I love you. Think about a man sitting at the breakfast table reading the newspaper when his wife walks in the kitchen and she asks him, do you know what today is? He said, of course I know what today is. Woman! She looked at him and she said, do you really know what today is? He said, yes, I know what today is. And he looked at his watch and said, oh, I got to get to work early today. So he bolted out the door, got in his car and said, dear Jesus, what is today? He didn't have a clue. So he began to think to himself, well, maybe it's her birthday. So he passed the edible arrangements place on the way to work and he pulled in and he had them send her some edible arrangements, hoping that maybe it was her birthday. And by the way, if you want to send me anything edible, I'll take a birthday card made out of beef jerky. Edible is a winner every time. So he sends her edible arrangements, and then when he takes his lunch break, he's sitting in his car eating lunch and he starts to think, you know, it might not be her birthday. Maybe it's our anniversary. So he quickly went to the florist and he ordered 2 dozen red roses with the message, I love you, and had flowers sent to the house. So he thought he was okay. But after work, he was driving home and he got to thinking, Well, what if it's a big anniversary? I don't know what year we're on. Maybe it's one of those big ones. So just in case, he went to the jeweler and he bought her a diamond necklace. And he gets home and he shows her the necklace. The flowers are there. The edibles have been eaten. And she runs up to him, smiling with tears streaming down her face, and leaps in his arms and said, oh, honey, this is the best Groundhog's Day I have ever had. Sometimes she needs to let her know you love her on just an ordinary day. Show your wife affection. It will make a difference. Number one, affection. Number two is conversation. Guys, talk to your wife. Okay, I know men aren't big on talking. They say that men speak an average of 7,000 words a day and women talk an average of 20,000 words a day. So men, that means you've got some catching up to do. Talk to your wife. Engage her in conversation. If you can talk for hours about sports and about work and about your hobbies, but you can't talk to your wife for 5 minutes about her life, you've got an issue. You've got work to do. Conversation. 3 needs of a woman. Affection. 5 needs of a woman. Affection. Conversation. Number 3 is openness. Be open with her and tell her what's on your mind. Share with her what you're going through. I know how guys are. I know because I is one. All right, I know. We like to bottle everything up. We like to be all big and tough and strong. And we don't talk about what we're struggling with and wrestling with. We don't talk about the stuff that's stressing us out. But the Bible says that your wife is your helpmeet. She's the person who's supposed to walk through life with you. So talk to her. Share with her what's on your heart, because marriage is a partnership. Yes. Include her. Number one, affection. Number two, conversation. Number three, openness. And number four, financial support. Uh-huh. Financial. Maybe you got a sugar mama. Maybe you got it made. All right, but guys, you got to do your part too. Okay, and here's why. Because women don't deal with financial pressure the same way that men do. Okay? We were built for war. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that we love being broke, But when we face financial pressure, there's something that activates inside of us like, yeah, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to go out. I'm going to find me a side hustle. I'm going to sell something. I am going to find a way to make this work. All right. And women don't respond to financial pressure in the same way. Okay? They need stability. So men, do all that you can to provide that for her. Five needs of a woman. Number five is family commitment. She needs to know that you're committed to her and to the family. So be a good husband. Be a good father. Invest in your family and make them a priority. Now, I know this is a scandalous thing to say, but I believe that family comes before work, before church, before anything else. And here's why. I believe that that our priorities should line up with the order of creation. Yes. Your number one priority is your relationship with God. Because in the beginning, it was God and Adam. The very first relationship on earth was between God and man. The second most important relationship is between man and wife. Because then came Eve. The third most important relationship in your life is between you and your children. Too many people get that mixed up. They get it backwards, especially in blended families. They put the kids number two and marriage number three. But if you're going to be healthy and functional, you got to get it right. You and God, you and your spouse, and then the kids. Thank you for that one golf clap of praise in the back. It's tight, but it's right. You and God, you and your mate, you and your kids, then everybody else. All right. I hope everybody's taking notes and listening. Okay. Those are the five needs of a woman. Here are the five needs of a man. And really, basically, it's one really big need and then four lesser needs. Okay. But I had to give you five. I gave the ladies five. I'll give the men five. Man's number one need is sex. And all the men said amen. This is man's number one need. So ladies, if you're trying to find the perfect gift for your husband for Christmas, for his birthday, for Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, Memorial Day, Easter, President's Day, Columbus Day, Veterans Day, Flag Day, Labor Day, Cinco de Mayo, or Thanksgiving. There you go. Hook him up. It's the one gift that never gets old and it never goes out of style. It'd be a good point to close service. We did on a high note today. Mic drop. Man's greatest, I'll keep going. Man's greatest need, number one is sex, and number two is more sex. I'm kidding. I wanted the men's attendance to keep going up. You know, we had a big boost after last Sunday. Number two is respect and admiration. This is very, very important for men. That they be respected and admired. Men want to be celebrated, not tolerated. Let me say that again. Men need to be celebrated, not tolerated. Every time that you tear him down or you criticize him, especially in front of other people, you're depriving him of one of his most basic needs to be respected and to be admired. Just like it's not okay for a man to say, I love my wife, but I never tell her. It's not okay for a woman to say, I admire my husband, but I never tell him that. Guys need to be respected and admired. So celebrate your husband. No matter what, find something to celebrate about him. He might be a scrub, he might be a loser, but even a broken clock can be celebrated twice a day, y'all. Yeah. Find something. Listen, if you want your husband to be better and you want him to grow as a man, Find something to celebrate about him. Find something that you admire about him. And I promise you, when you start giving him respect and admiration, that will be inner motivation for him to be better. Amen. There's my two golf claps of praise this morning. Men have a deep need for respect and admiration. And this is what I've observed. The devil is always looking for a way into your marriage. The Bible says don't give any place to the devil. Because if you don't give him respect and admiration, that hussy at work will. Number three. Companionship. Do stuff with him. Have fun together. Your husband, I promise you, he likes to have fun. He might look like droopy, okay, but he does like to have fun on the inside. Your husband likes to have fun. Don't make him do that with other people only. Find some way to have fun and to enjoy life together. I like what Pastor Rob says. We need to learn how to have fun God's way. That is such an important piece of relationships, is having fun together. Since y'all are running the aisles, jumping up and down and high-fiving each other, let me go on to number four. Fourth need of a man, a wife that invests in herself. Ladies, men love a woman who puts time and effort into herself. Now, I complain all the time. I complain all the time that it takes me 7 minutes to get dressed and ready in the morning, and I'm ready to go, and I'm sitting there complaining that it takes my wife 70 minutes to get 10 times longer to get ready than me. There are devices and chemicals and powders everywhere. I'm like, what is this stuff? Like, I'm looking for some UN workers and WMD gear to come in and start testing stuff. Stuff everywhere. Takes her 70 minutes to get ready. And I'm sitting here complaining on the outside, but on the inside, I love it. I love that I have a wife who invests in herself. I love it. Now, for the record, and this is being recorded and broadcasted live on Facebook, my wife looks beautiful with or without makeup. Now, that's the truth. Y'all saw that lightning today. That's the truth. I ain't gonna lie, church. She looks beautiful with or without makeup, but everybody ain't got it that way. Y'all said you want me to keep it real. I'm gonna keep it real. I wish everybody did, but everybody don't. That's why I love makeup. And all the makeup reps over there, yeah, yeah, yeah. Second quarter business is going up. I mean, y'all know my wife and I, we're remodelers. Everything looks better with a fresh coat of paint on it. Yeah. A few years ago, we had a friend of ours come from out of town, and she stayed with us for a couple days. That next morning, she came walking out of the guest bedroom with no makeup on. I almost called the police. I'm like, who is in my house? Reflexes kicked in. I'm like, I thought the death angel was coming to get me. I was like, oh, Jesus. Oh, Father, I repent of all my sins. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. You wouldn't be laughing so hard. And all the ladies thinking, well, you need makeup, so I don't know why she's talking like that. That's why more people listen to the podcast than come to church on Sunday. That's why. Pastor ain't got no makeup on. I'm running out of time. I'm getting hungry, y'all. Let me hurry up this morning. The five needs of a man. Y'all know number one. Number two is respect and admiration. Three, companionship. Four, a wife that invests in herself. And number five, men need to lead. Men need to lead. There is a need inside. There, God has put the seed of leadership inside every man. And in some way, shape, or form, they have to lead or they're going to go through life frustrated. And I know that we live in an age of empowered women, and I love empowered women. My wife is a strong woman. She is perfectly capable of doing anything that she wants to do. So I like that. When we were remodeling this building in our cafe, we've got some panel trim on the front of the counter. And I was out there working, and I had just started trimming out the cafe front of that counter. And I got sick, and I had to leave. My wife stepped in, put on a tool belt, and picked up where I left and trimmed out that whole thing. That girl is bad to the bone. I call her Pioneer Woman. Pioneer Woman, I tell you what, do surgery on herself. I tell you, she's tough. Me, I get a... ingrown toenail. I'm calling the funeral home. But she's sitting here and got something serious going on. She just treats herself and just keeps on working. I love it. I believe in strong and capable women. But men still have a God-given need to lead. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Men, God has called you to lead. And ladies, let him lead. Like I said, my wife is strong. She is a natural leader, but I lead our house. Why? Because she gives me permission to lead. That's what I say. I love strong women. And here's the thing. A strong, godly woman will make her husband stronger. But a controlling woman will make her husband weaker. See, ladies, it's up to you. It is largely up to you how your husband leads. Again, we live in a culture that stripped men of leadership. I see this in the cartoons all the time. Out of all of Hudson's favorite cartoons, I can't name one character that is a male leader. It's all female. You see, our culture has gone too far the other way to where we're empowering women, but we've forgotten to tell our young men that God has called you to lead, that you have an anointing of leadership on your life. Oh, I got 17 people clapping on that one. That's pretty good. But truthfully, we're harming our boys. And we're doing great harm to our young men because we're not raising them up to be leaders. And because God has hardwired them to lead, they're going through life frustrated, angry, and even violent, and they don't even know why. Men need responsibility because they have an innate need to lead. So those are the basic needs of men and women. And God's plan for marriage is for us to meet one another's needs. So men, I hope you didn't just write down man's needs to go home and tell your wife. I hope that you wrote down what your wife needs. And same thing for women. I hope you wrote down what your husband needs so we can minister to one another and meet one another's needs. Because marriage is work, y'all. Yes, it is. Some of you imagined a Hallmark movie when you thought about marriage, and then you got married and found out it was more like a Lifetime movie. Somebody once said, love is blind, but marriage is an eye-opener. I know things don't always go as expected. Some people think marriage will solve all their problems. No, marriage brings its own set of problems. So if you want to be married, you better be ready to work. There will be days when you get off work and you have to go home and work your second job called marriage when you get home. There will be some days you'll get off of work all happy and bubbly, like, I can't wait to go home. I can't wait to see her. I can't wait to see him and just hang out together and have a good time. But then there will be other days where you drive around the block a few extra times before you go inside because you know you're going to have to do some work when you get home and deal with some issues. Marriage is work, y'all. But it's worth it. Marriage takes work, and here's a news flash. You're not as easy to live with as you think you are. Welcome to Generation Church. We'll make you feel real good about yourself. I'm serious. You think that your spouse is difficult? Well, what do you think it's like living with you? I know we all think we're awesome, but in reality, none of us is easy to live with. Most of us want the gift of a relationship without the giving involved in that relationship. Let me go ahead and wrap up. Musicians, you can go ahead and come. We're going to bring it to a close this morning. Before we finish, I want to get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 one more time. It says, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. And this verse tells me that one of the main purposes of marriage is for a husband and a wife to be sexually fulfilled. You see, the answer to sexual sin is not no sex. Now, there are rare occasions when it is, because Jesus said some people are born a eunuch, some people have made themselves a eunuch for the kingdom's sake. Okay, so if God has called you to a life of celibacy, then that is your answer. But for most people, the answer to sexual sin is not no sex, but it's sex and marriage. And I talked about this last week. The problem in the modern church is that the singles are having sex and the married people aren't. But God's plan is the exact opposite of that. And think about this. Marriage is the only place that God has established for men and women to find that fulfillment. Amen. Well, let me get serious with you for just a moment today. I know we've had fun, we've laughed, but I believe that God is dealing with some issues today. I think the biggest threat to the church, to the body of Christ, is not the devil. I don't think the biggest threat to the world, to the church, is the world. It's not the devil. The Bible said that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. It's not the world, because the Bible said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The biggest threat to the body of Christ is not the devil. It's not the world. It's Christians who are halfway serving God. One foot in the church, one foot in the world. Saved on Sunday morning, full of the world on Friday night. Church, Jesus wants to be Lord of all. He wants to be the Lord of your whole life, every area of life. And the problem is that so many times people say they believe the Bible, but they're not living their lives by the Word of God. And there are two areas that I've seen that are the most unsurrendered areas in people's lives. These two areas, people consistently do not give to God and do not do it God's way. That's your bank account and your bedroom. Word of God tells us we're to honor God with our money, not just in tithing, but how we manage our money. And we are to honor God with our bodies. For the Word of God says that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. And therefore, we are to honor God. Jesus called us the light of the world. That means as Christians, we're supposed to be different and live different than the world around us. We cannot make a difference in this world until we live differently than the world. And sex out of bounds is normal to the world, but God has called us to a higher standard. So whether you're married or whether you're single, if you're having sex outside of God's boundaries, you need to open up your heart and let God deal with you today. And you need to surrender that area completely to Him. I've heard people say, especially single young guys, I've heard people say, well, I just can't help it. Guys tell me all the time, well, I can't shut it down. It's like, you know, biology takes over and I cannot shut it down. I promise you that you can. let's say, for example, that you're making out with your girlfriend and things start progressing and they start progressing and for some reason you turn on Netflix. And imagine that in that moment, her Marine Corps dad, who just got back from Afghanistan, burst into the room, and guess what you just did? You shut it down. What's the difference? The power and the presence of the Father. The power and the presence of the Father. Listen to me, no matter what your situation is, you can be sexually pure. All you need is the power and the presence of the Father. I'm talking about our Heavenly Father. The Bible says that nothing is impossible with God. Maybe you can't, but He can. Trust God because He is more than able and He will help you, give you strength. Maybe you're here today and your marriage is not what it should be. I want to encourage you today. If God can part the Red Sea and raise the dead back to life again, God can save your marriage. You better believe that this morning. God can restore your marriage because there's nothing that He cannot do. There are marriages in this church who have come back from the brink of divorce, who have been restored from adultery, from pornography, from abuse. Listen, God can do anything. And truth be told, some of the best marriages are simply marriages who have come back from the worst things. Maybe you're married to an unbeliever. Maybe you're married to somebody who's not doing their part. I want to encourage you today, be faithful where you are. Be faithful. Keep on doing what God said. Keep on doing what's right, even if they don't. And I promise you that if you're faithful, God will bless you. And God will take care of you. He will provide for you and give you peace. Others of you, maybe today's message touched on some areas where you know you need to do better. Touched on some areas in my life where I know I need to do better. My prayer for you is that you would become so good and so focused on meeting your spouse's needs, so good at loving them and investing in them that they cannot help but love you back and invest in you and meet those needs in your life. Maybe you're here today and there's no intimacy in your marriage. Guys, intimacy is not where you start. You start in all these other areas. You start meeting these other needs. And as you both meeting one another's needs, that intimacy will come. No matter what season you're in, I believe that God has all the power you need. If you trust Him, He will help you and sustain you. Will you stand to your feet this morning as we pray? Lord, I thank You for Your love. I thank You that You are a relational God, that You created us for relationships. And God, it's my prayer that every one of us, God, would learn how to do relationships Your way. God, that they wouldn't be broken and abusive relationships, God, but they would be fulfilling, filling and satisfying relationships full of joy and love and kindness and compassion. Help us, Lord, to learn to do things Your way. God, I pray that You would touch and bless every marriage in this place. God, that You would be with every single man and woman, God, and give each and every one of us the grace and the power and the strength and the peace that we need right now in this situation. I thank You that You are mighty and You are more than able. Our God is a God of relationships. But I tell you the truth this morning, there's one relationship that matters more than any other, and that's your relationship with God. And until you get that relationship right, no other relationship on earth is going to function the way that it ought to, because God gives everything that you need through His relationship with you. He wants to be your all in all, your everything. He wants you to trust Him and lean on Him and rely on Him and look to Him. He wants to be your Father, and He wants you to be His child. And I want to pray for you this morning. God, I pray for those who are here this morning and they don't know You. or they're here today and their relationship with you has been broken. They've fallen away from the faith. Lord, I thank you that they're not here by accident today, but Lord, you have them right here for this appointed time because you love them. You love her. You love him. You care for them, Lord. And you demonstrated your love when you sent Jesus to die on the cross, Lord, while we were still dead in our trespasses. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful love. God, I thank you that you've not stopped loving them. Lord, from the moment they breathed their first breath, God, you already love them. You will always love them. And Lord, I pray, my prayer for them today is that they would experience your love by knowing you as their heavenly Father, as the Lord of their life, their Savior and friend. And God, I thank you for a new beginning. I thank you for the hope that only comes from Jesus. Lord, I thank you that today, somebody's second chance today, somebody is starting over right here this morning in this service. Lord, I thank you for that. I want to lead you in a simple prayer to help you put your faith in Jesus, start your journey of faith. And I want to ask my church family, everybody, let's pray this prayer out loud together in support of those who are committing their life to Christ this morning. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe God raised you from the dead. And Jesus, with your help, I will live for you. I will trust you. I will seek you. I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and meant it with all your heart, you made the greatest decision of your lifetime. The Bible says that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Your past is gone. Your future is bright in Him. Now, I'm going to give you some advice today before you go. Your whole life is not going to be perfect just because you became a Christian. There's going to be problems. There's going to be opposition. Jesus never said you weren't going to have problems or tribulations or troubles. But this is what he did say. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you.